Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to those who I haven't seen yet. Thank you. It's still early. It's going pretty well, but it's early. As we're all aware, Christmas is really a rather short season. It's the shortest season of the liturgical year. 4 weeks of Advent in our preparation. A week of Christmas, and now a week as we recognize Epiphany of the Lord. Next Sunday will be the Baptism of the Lord, which concludes the Christmas season, and we move into 5, 6, maybe 7 weeks of ordinary time before the high season of Lent and Advent. You all know, as I've mentioned every year for the last 20 years and previous pastors before myself, that Christmas celebrates the incarnation of God. It is that radical reality of God taking on our flesh, the infinite, eternal, transcendent, invisible God, needing nothing, chooses to become one like ourselves in all things but sin. The Feast of the Epiphany moves further, too much to celebrate all at once. We have to really ponder, have you really thought about what it means that God should have come in the flesh, the most intimate, the most powerful, the most humble, the most real way that God could come to us? So that in the understanding, sometimes simply the intuition of faith, things that draw us to love, things that inspire us to do the right, to do the good, recognized in one like ourselves, who through the manner and rhythm of his life, we recognize in him God, a love that cannot be defeated. As again, you well know, the Feast of the Epiphany reveals and manifests the divinity of Christ. Again, pondering is needed. The innocent infant child in his diapers would soon to become the adult Christ. This season, quite importantly, reveals for us the revelation and the witness of light. We all know that light is a primary sign and spiritual symbol. As I said before, again, it's hard to grasp intellectually, I suppose, but it's easily enough seen. Light is the truth or the theological virtue of the Christmas season. Why? Because God comes to us in Jesus, who is the light of the world. How would you define light? Light has to be defined, I suppose, in contrast to darkness. I'm sure there is a scientific answer. I came across the question the other day, how do you define air? It came to me from a story from Father Rohr's book. I remember the title. And the fishes were swimming, and they said, "Well, Mom, what's water?" "Well, you're swimming in it." That didn't help. And so the mother got pictures of a waterfall and got pictures of water running out of a faucet and this and that. And, "Now, that's water." And they go, "Oh, okay, Mom." They still didn't know what water was, because those are just images. You and I all know spiritually the difference between light and darkness. Light naturally brings a goodness, a virtue. One can see and nothing is hidden. They imitate and reflect the reality of God. We all know the uncertainties of darkness. There is a certain beauty in darkness, is there not? Have you never sat in a dark room or been in a dark place, maybe on a dark, starless, moonless night? I have. And you can put your hand in front of your face and you can't see it. And yet you know there's a certainty. But darkness also images the reality of lies, deception, chaos, confusion, and all that is not of God. It's important that we think about what revelation is. What is witness and what is light? Revelation is God making known the divine self to us in the person of Christ. That's why we call it faith. If we could scientifically and theologically in any other way materially prove, how could it then be God? Then we could only figure it out ourselves and manipulate it. God is that mystery that must be revealed. There is the big R revelation in light of the theologies and doctrines of the church, but then there's the little R, revelation of daily life. Did you have a new insight about God, about Jesus, about yourself in these last days as we've heard the word of God, reflected upon them, and received the sacrament of our salvation? Those daily insights, I hope they're daily, that we understand more fully ourselves in God, in Christ, and God in us. Witness is that we allow God to be seen through us. Can we be witnesses of light, truth, goodness, and love? How do I be a witness to truth? That's a very good question today. You get any five people together, and they're not going to agree in what the truth is. No, you know this. Love is truth because it's unchanging and because it's divine. God is truth. Jesus Christ is God. That's our faith. And we depend, our lives depend on that, and we've surrendered our lives to dying in self-giving love for the sake of others in the promise of life after life, eternal life in God. That's what we are called to give witness to, so that our lives reveal the light who is God within us. The three wise men are witnesses of this revelation in their long search for light. They were led by the light of a star, and their longing and their search was fulfilled when they recognized Jesus in the manger with Mary, his mother. What did they see? What did they perceive that told them this just wasn't one other baby born into the world? They saw something. They perceived something, did they not? What were they searching? What were they longing for? Why did they go through that long and uncertain journey? Where did they get water? There was no McDonald's. There were no Arby's. You know, they didn't have soda pop back then. They traveled all these desert lands. What drew them, you see? What draws us? What motivated you to come this morning to get up on such a, beautiful day. Thank you for this day, Lord. It's not raining, snowing, and we're not having earthquakes. Yet. And yet, what drew them? To the Magi, it is revealed by grace. Like Peter says to Jesus, who confesses, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And then Jesus immediately says, "Peter, no mere man has revealed this to you, but it was my heavenly Father." It was God who revealed to these wise men that it was Christ, the child, who would come to be the Savior of the world. So that the image not only reveals the divinity of Jesus, but does it not also reveal and stir up for us, I hope, the longing of every human heart, seeking love? And every human heart does seek love. That is an absolutely true statement. Because human beings are not human without love. We all seek human love, whether for the sake of friendship, affection, love, family, spouse, children. But not only that, when we long for that love, are we not also longing for an endless love? A love that will never end, that will ultimately be our fulfillment in God through Christ? Absolutely. Do you think about that every day? Probably not. But are we all not longing for the satisfaction of our own personal wholeness, for freedom from all those things that weigh us down and bind us from living freer, more loving lives? I know I'm longing for that. But it has to come by grace. So we're all longing not only for the love and affection of physical love from one another, but the love that comes from God. Jesus, again, is the light of the world. It is he that no darkness shall ever overcome. Jesus himself says, I am the light of the world. This is a prominent theme in the Gospel of John. Jesus is the light of hope. He himself is the light of truth. He is the light of love that triumphs over evil, sin, and death. The image flows throughout the Old Testament into the New. Today's first reading is a good example of that. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem, your light has come. Consider the contextual reality historically of that time, the darkness of oppression, starvation, the hardness of life, difficult governments. Very few people had most of the money, and most of the people struggled and eked out an existence day by day. They longed for something beyond somehow getting enough bread every day. They longed for God. And so Isaiah proclaims for them, even in the midst of darkness, see, darkness covers the earth. Thick clouds cover the people. It's an image of sin, isn't it? Lies, deception, chaos, confusion, power, wealth, and control. I got mine. I don't care about you. And so God says, but upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. As believers in Christ, we are called to be people of the light. But what does that mean? In what way does that become literal in our lives? It means more than, well, I'm a good person. I'm nice. I try to be helpful. I try to be generous. It's more than simply being religious. I go to church and I bring an envelope. What it means is that the light of Christ has made us spiritual beings. If we have that longing for love, not only human love, but the love of wholeness, the love of fulfillment, eternal love, that comes to us through the waters of baptism and the grace and the life of the Holy Spirit. It is the realization and the revelation that our goodness, and I know your goodness, thank you, by the way, I don't know the final numbers. The last several years, we've been getting about $22,000 for the Christmas collection. What was it so far this year? Over 30. 30 or 31. What have you been holding back for? Thank you. You and I all know it's an uncertain time. We're going through this. How did I get into that anyway? We're going through this reconstruction in the diocese and all of that. Thank you. I am confident, and not this week, but the following week, we're starting 3-day meetings. Oh, 8 hours at one meeting. You better be praying, because I'm going to be a people of light, but there might be some shadowy thoughts going through my head. You know what I mean? But you see how real that all is? And I mean that, thank you, really. It really helps the budget. But that tells me again, you are those people of light in these uncertain economic times. Thank you for your generosity. But it says further that it is the revelation that our goodness is in fact the goodness of God in us. God does not love us because we're so good. God loves us so much because he's so good. And when we're drawn to do the good, the right, the virtuous thing, that's the reality and the evidence, literally the revelation of God, the Holy Spirit within us. It gives us the desire to seek and to grow in virtue and holiness. Because again, you and I are people of the light, and the world needs you, the way you live, the way you behave, the rhythm and movements of your life, your moral life, your spiritual life. However many times we fall down and fail, we get up because the light will never dim, and it will not be overcome by the darkness of fault and failure because Christ died and rose from the dead. What is the light of Christ? It is divine love. And it comes to us in the realization that inspires us to personal growth and our own desire to not only receive love, but to give love to others. As we look at the image of the three wise men, Again, what were they longing for? Why do you and I long for love? What made those magi follow a star and such a long and arduous journey? Why did they do that? Because they were drawn by God. They were drawn by an inner longing, an inner desire, inner intuition. Now, faith is a lot more than intuition. But intuition is a big part of believing, that we have the capacity to intuit, to perceive interiorly. And I can use the example, how do you know, when do you feel that you know God's hearing your prayer? That's grace. I mean, I go through my prayers on that little treadmill every day, and I say my prayers takes me about 50 minutes, and I get my exercise, and I'm really bored with this today, Lord. And God's going, yeah, no kidding. But then there's other days, and I say those same prayers walking on that same treadmill, and I've had a lot of days like that. I have to stop because I know that I know God is going right ahead of me on that treadmill. He walks faster than I do. But I feel and intuit that he's there, and I know he's loving me. Do you have days and times like that? Don't say it out loud. But feel it in your heart. Own it. Claim it. May only happen once a month. Might happen 3 times a month or 3 times a day. Or maybe your prayer is dry and only happens twice a year. But God is still there. And it's the longing of our hearts. That's why those three wise men followed. Because there was an intuition and a drawing of their hearts. It was God drawing them to himself. And that's what we can call the tension of grace. The call to holiness in every human heart, to do the right thing, to do the good, to work for justice, to serve the poor, and to be generous, because that's what makes us people of the light in Christ. That tension of holiness that confirms that we are children of God, sons and daughters of our Father and brothers and sisters of Jesus. The opposite of light is, of course, darkness. That probably doesn't need a lot of words today. We see a lot of darkness in the world, do we not? Do not let that darkness overcome your faith. God is unending, and our redemption has already been made sure. It's readily seen for us in the light of the gospel today. In the threat of the power to his authority, when he hears the word, "Where is the newborn king?" "Another king? What are you talking about? I'm the king." Herod and all Jerusalem get thrown into a panic. Deceptively then, Herod directs the Magi to Bethlehem, to the child Jesus, and says, "Now after you find him, you come back and you tell me where he is so I can go worship him too." That's a lie. He wants to go kill him because he doesn't want any competition. Another king, he might be better than I. He might take my power and authority. That's the reality of darkness. And there is the reality of the angel of darkness presented as the angel of light. It looks good, sounds good, it's fruitful, it must be good. But then you get 2 or 3 or whatever steps down the road and you realize, it's a deception. It's the angel of darkness dressed as an angel of light, you know what I mean? Father of the light. You are people of light. Every one of you has goodness and beauty and truth in you because it is the light of Christ into which you have been baptized and redeemed by the dying and rising of the Lord so that you are called to reveal and to be a witness to that light, that love that is within you. If you're seeking love personally in your life, if you need strength in your faith or a reviving of your hope, let your light shine. Be in touch with your inner goodness. Exercise it. Share it. Don't be like the image that Jesus uses in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. You are the light of the world. Who puts a light under a bushel basket? Don't hide your light. The world needs it. You say, my little light, what is that going to matter? Well, I don't know. I read a story 15 years ago in Chicken Soup for the Soul. You remember those books? You still read those? Yeah. Little boy, 10-year-old, maybe 11, 12-year-old boy, and the tide is out, and all the starfish are hundreds of them, thousands maybe, laying on the beach. And the kid is going by, and he picks, every time he goes by one, he picks it up and throws it in the water. And a guy going in the opposite direction, walking his dog, he says, "Oh, you're not going to make any difference. There's 1,000 of these. What difference are you going to make?" He picked up another one, threw it in the ocean, and said, "Well, made a difference for that one." You don't have to get them all, but just get the ones in front of you. If there's someone near you or around you that you know you can help in whatever way, like this much or this much, you're being a person of light, and you're helping that person to be reminded that they too deserve the care and the love of another. When we receive love, or we do a good deed, isn't the heart warmed? When we're blessed by the help or the attention or the affirmation of another person, isn't the heart revived and the emotions stirred up? They are for me. That's just basic human emotions. So that, be light, be good and do good, because you are good and you do have light. The best way to push back the darkness of doubt and fear and anxiety, particularly in these times politically, socially, and economically, pray. Believe in your prayer. Don't pray as a beggar. Pray as the king's kid, because you belong to Christ our King, who claimed you as his own. If you find it hard to pray, sit still and be at peace. If you got to sit in the garage, even though it's cold, don't turn the car on if the door's closed. Sit there and be quiet. 5 minutes, even every day, a couple times a day if it's a hard day. That quiet will reveal light, even if you're sitting in the dark. Sometimes the dark can be beautiful. After you pray and settle yourself in the Lord, then go out and put your prayer into action. If your age or physicality doesn't allow you to be active, then stay in the chair and keep praying, because that's also a way to bring light into the world. My sisters and brothers in Christ, we are holy and beloved of God, and your life and my life matters, because you are a person in light, and boy, does the world need it. Come, Holy Spirit, blow us up. Blow on our flame and turn it into a bonfire. Save and set us free, sweet Jesus.